fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. We're here again today with Billy Kangas, who's been sharing with us all week and his spiritual journey. Very inspirational, very insightful, how the Lord works with us along the journey. I think if you haven't had a chance to listen to the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs right there on your computer or download them and put them on whatever device works for you to be able to listen to it at your leisure. Welcome back, Billy.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Yesterday you were talking about the steps that started to happen of your direct movement into the Catholic Church. Let's pick that up and find out how you came all the way home.
Yeah, so last week we were talking about a sort of crisis of authority that I had had, asking how do I know what's true? And also the gradual breakdown of a lot of my anti-Catholic theological qualms. This all started to come to a head for me as I was wrapping up my seminary education. I had realized my list of reasons I would never become Catholic had dwindled down to just about one. And that issue was the papacy. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was a big thing. Why was it there was this one guy out there who somehow had a special role in the church? I just couldn't get my head wrapped around it. And what wound up happening was, right at Easter time, I was heading back to Michigan to visit family. I had been reading through this book by John Hardin on Catholic theology. And in the book, he had made this case for the papacy that was rooted in the call of Jesus, the command of Jesus, in Matthew 28:14. To go into the whole world, right? So he seemed to send out these people on a global mission. And he said, well, if God wants to accomplish this global mission with these people, he has to have a vehicle that goes beyond these individuals. It has to be a body, it has to be a family, it has to be a church. And there has to be a way that that church finds unity, and that center of unity is apostolic, and that apostolic unity is rooted from the scriptures forward in the papacy, essentially.
When you say it has to be apostolic, what do you mean by that?
So, the term apostle finds its root in this concept of a person who is sent. It's like a military, almost, term for a naval fleet that goes out with the authority of the king. So as it travels, it bears authority, it has a mission, and it goes into a new land. And so the church uses this term, apostle, to be like, we are people with authority who are on this mission to the world, and we have this very specific charter that has been given to us by God. So the apostles become kind of the initial bearers of this charter. And to have an apostolic mission means that you're connected to the authority that was given to this mission or whatever. What Father Hardin in the book said was the church has this apostolic charter, and we know its authority because of the people that it's connected to, that are connected to the bishops, that are connected to the apostles, that are connected to Christ.
So the apostolic succession is part of what you're talking about, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought this was an interesting argument from Scripture. I'd, you know, read a bunch of the other stuff, and I had my arguments all set. But this one, I said, you know, if I do believe that Christ very specifically, almost incarnationally, established a mission in the world through these people, I should take it very seriously how that mission continues globally. So I was asking that question, and I closed the book, went to the Easter Vigil, went to a Catholic church, because these are live questions I was exploring, and I love the Easter Vigil. It's my favorite liturgical progression of the whole year. I look forward to it. To this day, I get tearful just thinking about it. It's just a great time. And as I was in the Easter Vigil, the Lord very clearly put on my heart, you need to become Catholic. And I said no. I said no. I've done 7 years of education. I've spent the last decade working in the church. I've invested a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of resources into this mission. I'm married with kids at this point. I'm like, no, God, I can't. It's too much. And he said, no, you are to become Catholic. I said, all right, we'll take this up later. So I put a bookmark in my prayer life and said, the next time I have a chance, we're going to pray deeply about this. So we head back to Chicago. I'm still at. I say, I'm going to go out on a prayer walk to think about this very thing. I grab my Bible and I head out on a footpath near our apartment. And I'm sitting under a light, and I open up my Bible. I'm going to play this game called Bible Roulette, where you put your finger down and see what the Lord says. Yeah. It's a terrible, terrible game. I don't recommend people often do it. So I open my Bible. I'm about to put my finger down, but instead of reading what's there, a guy runs around the corner and says, are you reading the Bible? I said, yeah, I'm reading the Bible. He says, read Matthew 28:14, which was the very passage that John Hardin had used to introduce his argument 2 days before. So I read it to him. He goes, thanks. And he runs. So a guy runs up, quotes to me the one passage in the Bible that references the issue I was praying about, runs on the other direction, and I was left there in silence. I just sat in silence for maybe a half hour. Finally went into the library, and at that point I wrote an email to a Catholic friend of mine back in Michigan, and I said, I think God's calling me to become Catholic. What do I do? And he gave me the advice that I should be in prayer about it. So I decided I would take a year to pray. I found a spiritual director over at Loyola in Chicago down the street. I said, hey, I think I'm going to be wrestling with this issue. Help me through it. And I took a year or two to live like a Catholic. I said, I'm going to live this way. I'm going to read everything. Read the catechism cover to cover. Read every book I could get my hands on. Prayed even more of the Liturgy of the Hours. Even more of the Rosary. Did consecration to Mary. Got icons. Venerated those. Went to Mass. Went to Eastern Catholic Masses. Western Catholic Mass. The whole gamut. By the time the year was done, I realized there's such a wealth of richness here. I just can't go back to the way things were. I have to go forward. This is where the Lord's leading me. So we packed up. We left Chicago, applied for some PhD programs in theology because I said, well, the Lord's called me to ministry. I got to figure out what's next. And I have often been thinking, maybe I should keep my education going because I love this stuff. I got into a PhD in liturgy and sacramental theology at the Catholic University of America, joined the Catholic Church, and began studying this new path.
Where did you enter into the church? Where did that happen, and how did that happen?
So I tried to enter the church immediately after this year. I knocked on the door of every priest I could find and said, will you let me in?
Yeah.
And they all said, RCIA. I said, okay. So when I was in D.C.,
You said, do you want me to teach it, or do you just want me to listen to you?
No, yeah, you know, it's a humbling thing to go. Yeah. I went through the RCIA program at Catholic U. So it was me and a bunch of undergraduates, and it was pretty fun. Even then, I got a chance to go out to coffee with a bunch of them as they were struggling with questions of faith, to be able to say, well, you know, this is how I've dealt with it. This is how I understand it. And to be able to bring to that conversation a lot of experience of struggling with the big questions of coming to the Catholic Church was great because, so I felt like initially I was anxious, like, oh, why do I have to waste my time with this?
Yeah.
But really, the Lord turned it into an opportunity to do some very powerful ministry in my kind of journey towards joining the Catholic Church. So it was good.
Why did you choose liturgy? And sacraments, right? Liturgy and sacraments?
The program is Liturgy and Sacramental Theology. I chose that because those were areas that had been really key in my joining the Catholic Church and areas that were not particularly focused on in my previous education. So I knew a lot about, you know, standard theology, a lot about church history, a ton about biblical studies. But I wanted to, I wanted to understand this life of the church that has been so meaningful to me in the prayer, because prayer and liturgy had been the things that had drawn me in. And I said, I want to engage here. I want to really understand this thing. So I engaged in that some more. I thought it was great. I feel now that I've kind of gone through my coursework there, it's been a huge blessing and helped me really understand the church in a much more powerful way.
Mm-hmm. We have just a couple of minutes left in the program. I wanted to ask you, would you like to say anything more about Cultivate and the work that you're doing there?
Yeah. One of the hardest things for me joining the Catholic Church was abandoning what I saw as my identity as a pastor. And I said, oh, I'm a layperson now. What am I supposed to do? But gradually the Lord began to speak to me that what he's called me to is not a specific form of ministry, but to a life of ministry. In fact, in my baptism, I have been called, as all of us have been called, to this identity of a servant on a mission in the life of God. And so when I had an opportunity to come back here and start Cultivate, I began to see that the pastoral heart that I had for my congregation before, I could actually have for my whole community. That I could be, in a certain sense, a minister of God's love in lattes.
Yeah, so good coffee. Yeah,
we started this cafe because we believed that business could be used for good. And that heart that I had early on to share the good news of Christ to everyone, I realized I could walk with people in faith and express my love for God and love for them in a really organic way. And so every day I get to do that. I get to share life with people, to offer them something that I love, which is coffee, and hopefully develop that kind of relationship and community with them. So yeah, that's what I'm doing right now in Ypsilanti, working on building community, mm-hmm. working good in the world by Ending Hunger, and sharing a bit of my life and my faith and my journey with the people that come in every day for coffee and beer and things like that.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. If people want to find out about it, where do they go?
So you can learn about Cultivate at cultivateipsy.org.
Cultivateipsy.org. And I just, as you were sharing this last part of, Lord, okay, now I'm no longer a pastor. Where do I go? And the Lord showed you right where he's planting you, where your heart is, where your gifts are, where your passion is. There's a continuity there. There's rarely a radical break, like if you've been following him. So you go back all the way back to the hardware store that you talked about the first day, selling galvanized bolts or whatever it is. And in that moment, the Lord's showing you that you're part of a larger narrative, a larger story. And every day of your life, wherever you are, that story is unfolding. And every moment and every day and every relationship has meaning as a result of that. And I think it's a great takeaway this week, friends, because that's the same story you're in. That's the same reality that the Lord wants to really live out with you in your own life. And you can count on that. It's for you. It's for each and every one of us. So, Billy, thanks for being here this week. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right, friends, God bless you and have a wonderful weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.